Creative people, welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so, so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So, a little background about the podcast. So, I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and the mission is to expand the quote-unquote societal definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So to me, the beauty of this space is that I get to talk to people that have all different kinds of jobs, hobbies, and interests, and we have a conversation about their experiences and perspectives that all center around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes from there. So I have been lucky enough to speak to a lawyer, a doctor, real estate agents, personal organizer, handwriting specialist, and so many more. And to me, the amazing thing is that by sharing their stories, we get to explore the space of expressing yourself, giving yourself actual permission to take time for your interests and expand your thinking. So by doing this and incorporating it into your life on the daily, I feel that you will feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest for today is Melissa Lambor. She is a Reiki Astro Geo Guide. She helps people at a crossroads find their place in this world using Reiki, Ayurveda, and astrogeography. Her sessions help people navigate their identity and purpose while discovering the best places to manifest their goals. Melissa, welcome to the space. So Melissa, you should just press call in. So there's those circles where you can call in and I will invite you up to the stage. Can you see where that is? You have entered the space. So you just need to press those circles where it says call in or connect. And then I can invite you up. Okay, so try the second one, not the first circle, but maybe try press whatever circles you need to. And I'm guessing, so you enter the studio again. Okay, good. Perfect. Good. Hey, Melissa.
Hello. Yeah, I pressed the button before, but I guess it disappeared. So, hello.
Hi. Welcome to the space.
Thank you so much for the beautiful introduction.
You're so welcome. Glad you're here. So, Melissa, why don't you tell us, you have such an interesting background. You have this whole engineering, this whole chemical engineering background, and then, you know, yoga, Ayurveda, and astrogeography. So can you tell us, before we get into the questions, a little bit more?
Yes. Where I started was in engineering. So I studied mechanical engineering, biomedical, and now I'm doing my MBA. So I'm just a perpetual student. And along that journey, I realized that I wasn't tapping into my creativity. And I actually bumped into someone that really got me down the rabbit hole of trying to find my creativity. And I thought it was through an artistic outlet. But I realized it was really through entrepreneurship, which I finally delved into with the Reiki Astro Geography. Which was also at the beginning of my spiritual awakening. So it allowed me to combine Reiki, which is energy healing, Ayurveda, which also taps into healing the chakras, and combining astrogeography, which taps into my love of maps. So that was something that I really loved as a child. So it all kind of came full circle.
God, it's just so amazing. And I just have so many questions.
Yeah.
So many questions. So I know we're going to get into this as we're talking, but if you could just touch on two things. First is, what was your spiritual awakening?
My spiritual awakening really started when I realized that I was repressing my sexuality. So I consider myself queer, and that really triggered my awakening, where my sexual liberation also had to that had to happen before I reached my spiritual awakening. Because that's all integrated into the sacral chakra, where it's the sexual and also the creative energy. So the lower chakra right above the root, that's the sacral. And I realized to heal that, I needed to embody who I was sexually, right, with my sexuality. And then that opened up the gates to be creative. And then realizing that creativity, just like with your podcast, is not just with a pen and a paintbrush, right? Or a pencil. And it was through entrepreneurship. So yeah.
Wow, that's a, I mean, it's amazing, and it's just so, I mean, because you're talking about identity. I mean,
Yeah.
that's the
And
core. That's the core of who we are. So
it is.
once you're true and real with who you are, then you can be open and you can be free.
Exactly. And once I embodied that, that's when I stepped into a yoga studio, and I start and that really opened up my spiritual awakening, where I started learning about Reiki, about crystals and oracle cards and you name it, and Ayurveda. And a few months down the line, I'm like, what do I do for entrepreneurship? I don't know what I want to do for my business. And that's when astrogeography also came into the picture, and that I was able to combine that after a few, business attempts of I wanted to start like a virtual cat cafe, Reiki infused art, like all the crazy ideas that were just not taking off. And I realized when a few friends of mine were mentioning, oh, like how do I find the best place to live in the world, like based on the cosmos or based on the stars? I'm like, oh yeah, there's a website for that. But I didn't realize that, it was very complicated for them, and it came easy to me. So that's where I really, yeah, I figured that there was a gap there, and I could fill that. So, and
I
that's
love that.
where Reiki Astro Geo came to be.
Because that's what I was going to say. Because I'm sure as people are reading this title, they're like, what is that? I think
Yeah.
it's like grabbing my attention,
One
but
of my Instagram posts is like, what the hell is this?
the hell is astrogeography?
Right? And that's usually what people are asking, which, it does pique everybody's interest, and I was surprised that people would be interested, and I've been getting so many clients by just mentioning astrogeography or astrocartography, and I thought it was such a trivial thing that wasn't gonna catch on, or people would want to know more about. So, but it's definitely something.
Yeah. And I think, well, usually it's kind of like that stuff that we think is trivial is, that's usually where the best ideas are. 'Cause, don't they say keep it simple, stupid?
Yes. We
Yeah.
overcomplicate things all the time.
We do. It's like, well, it can't be that simple. It just can't be. And that's where the best things lie. So maybe if you can tell, and then we'll dive into the first question, like, real quickly, so if someone were to come to you for an astro for astrogeography, what does that look like?
Usually I send them out a pre-session questionnaire, and it'll ask them things related to Reiki. So asking like symptoms or anything related to their energetic body with their chakras. So if there's anything with their throat that they felt in the past, or with their lower chakras, like the root chakra, maybe they felt like they didn't feel safe, or that they weren't grounded. Those are some questions related to the energetic body. And then tapping into Ayurveda, so asking what their mind body type is, and that's usually just a little question, little quiz that they can take online, and they'll figure it out. And that I relate it to the environment that they're meant to be in. And then I dive into the questions related to astrogeography. So where they want to live, what energies they want to tap into. So that's usually related to goals that they want to achieve in their life. And then three places that they would want to discover in the session.
So it's not like in my head, I was thinking it was like when you get your astrological chart done, it's your your birthday, your where you were born, kind
That
of
too.
thing.
Yep, I asked the birth information as well, because
Okay.
once I put that into the astro.com site, it plots out the planetary energies. So yeah, that's one of the questions as well.
Got it. Yeah, because that's where it becomes really overwhelming. And you think that it's simple, and it's a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, what the hell does that say?
And there's also like harmonious lines and disharmonious lines, and that's when it's like, whoa, it's just a bunch of colorful lines everywhere. Yeah. And I think my energetic, oh, what is it? My energetic, my engineering background helps me like look at the patterns of where these lines are. And also bringing in my travel experience, since I've been to over 20 countries, that really helps to figure out like, oh, they have a lot of energy in Malaysia, so I can help them kind of figure out where they could go, and like some places that I've been to, and I can kind of also give them tips on certain regions that I've been to in the past.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. This is going to be good. This is going to
Okay.
be good. Good, rich conversation. Okay. So let's dive in. And I want to welcome the people that are here live. So happy that you're here. Any questions or comments, please feel free to put them in the chat box and we will get to them. So, Melissa, first question, how do you define creativity?
So creativity, I look at it as a way to channel your creative energy, and like I mentioned before, it's related to the sacral chakra, so the lower chakra, in the energy center of the body. So like I've learned the hard way that creativity, even though in the classical sense, I felt like I had to be a good artist in some way, and I was in school. But I've realized now that I shine in different ways through entrepreneurship. So, my definition of creativity is really just the whatever creative outlet you find in your life.
When you said that you were good in school, what kind of stuff did you do when you were in school?
I used to love drawing for myself, even outside of school. I did painting. I was also part of like a small after school program, because the art teacher noticed that I was good at the arts. So there was like a few, it was just like three of us, of my friends, and we would just do different paintings that we would enter for the county, like one of the county contests.
Yeah.
But that was pretty much it. And also writing. Because I do come from immigrant parents, I always thought that my writing wasn't good enough. But I realized going back to my old writing that so many of my teachers would give me such, great comments. And I'm like, oh wow, maybe I was a decent writer. I don't know, because I do love writing, so.
It's so funny. It's just kind of, just perspectives, the word is coming to me. It's just different perspective. It's like how we perceive ourselves and then how others perceive. So you could be like, oh, I suck at that. I suck at that, or it's not my strength. And meanwhile, other people are like, my God, I'm seeing that you're so good at this. Or, it's just different, these different perspectives.
Exactly, yeah.
So, creativity is the way to channel your creative energy. And thinking about the chakras, so you specifically mentioned the sacral chakra being your base chakra, because that
Right.
holds a lot of that. So how about, isn't there, so the order is there, well, there's the root, the sacral.
And
Can
then
you
the
tell us the order of the chakras?
Yeah, it goes from root, sacral, solar plexus, heart, the throat, the third eye, and then the crown.
Okay. So I found for me that the throat chakra was a big one
About
because it's
speaking truth.
speaking so much about expression.
And that one is linked to the sacral chakra. So that, yeah, your sacral chakra has to be balanced for your throat chakra to also be in balance. So those
Cool.
are very closely related.
So then how about, so you did, so I want to go back to a little bit more of your background. So you're in engineering, and who were you working for?
I currently work for the Army, so
So tell us about that. So what do you do for them?
I work with ammunition. I don't like to talk much about it, but yeah. And that's a reason that I'm also transitioning out of engineering. I thought initially that I was going to get into like roller coaster design or something fun. But just the way that life works, you end up in a job that's easy. And you know, they're my investors for my next phase in life. And yeah, it's been 12 years with working for the government, and I just realized that I wasn't being creative. I wasn't using my degree to the point that I wanted to. Yeah, and now I feel like I've finally found my purpose, and in the most creative way that I could, because I could be, you know, searching endlessly for other engineering jobs, and I feel like I would still be left with that yearning to do something creative, whatever that was meant to be, right?
Well, I love that word yearning. That's a really good, and I'm so happy for you that you discovered this at your age. Seriously, I mean, because this is the whole adulting thing that we get trapped in. And you could go, you mentioned the word rabbit hole before. You could go down the rabbit hole of, well, I went to school for this. It's comfortable, it's easy,
Right.
and
And it and
you could
I
stop
was
that.
and I was there, yeah. And it took a while for me to get over that. It was a complete mind shift, of letting go of, you know, my immigrant parents, like wanting me to do better, and also doing better for my parents, right? They came here to this country for a better life and for a better life for their children. And I was almost throwing away, it felt like I was throwing my degree away for something that wasn't guaranteed. So
My gosh, listeners, are you hearing this? Like, do you resonate with this? Because this is so common. It's so common. And you're first generation. So where are your parents from?
from Guatemala. Yeah, so they came here in the 80s, and a few years later I was born.
But yeah, I mean, you get caught up in that mindset of, I'm representing my family. I'm, all of these. All these shoulds.
Yes. And what really got me through it was finally joining, through the yoga studio. I made a few connections, a few other people that, you know, also went through college and left their career and started their own coaching business or whatnot. And that's where I started taking like mentorships and a few coaching programs, and that kind of I had somebody holding my hand right through it, and it's gonna be okay, it's gonna be okay. And that's what I needed. I needed that extra push to finally leave what I was so comfortable with.
Well, and it's good. It's baby steps,
It
and
is.
it's a way that you're comfortable with. And that's, I think it's very important to recognize who we are and how we learn and how we do things. And there are certain things. It's interesting. Somebody was kind of they showed a video to my husband and I, and it was just about the past. And releasing the past of all of the, this is who I am. This is the way it's always been. This is because those are, the paradigms and the mindsets. So we get stuck in that. So that's what we kind of, that's our fallback of, well, I can't do it because this is the way it's always been for me, or it's never worked out, or things like that. But once you start stepping out and taking the steps in order to move forward, You know, some people just say F it and they just leave their job and they just do it. Whereas other people are like, I'm going to do it. It's like stepping into the pool.
Yeah.
And needing to kind of like warm up before you dive in.
Yeah. And in my case, I was very risk averse. So I didn't want to take those risks. But in a way, it worked out for me, right? Where I stayed in my job long enough where I can now pay for, you know, any coaching programs or any retreats that I want to do. Where if I just left my job a year in, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. I wouldn't have the house that I have now. You know, I put money down with the sign-on bonus to buy my house that I'm in now that, you know, could easily be an Airbnb in the future. So I think I set myself up like early on, and I thank old Melissa, you know, 12 years ago for setting, you know, setting everything up, retirement plan, whatever it is. Because I do beat myself up that I've stayed in my job too long, right? And I think we do that, and I think it just was divine timing, even though I didn't think it was.
Yeah, and you're so clear on what it is that you're doing. Like, you got your hook now,
right?
Like, you have it down, whereas before it wasn't as clear. And you wouldn't have had the safety net. So,
yeah, I think a few years into my job, I knew I wanted to do entrepreneurship. I signed up for an MBA thinking, okay, this is going to be my exit, right? This will be my out. But still, through the MBA is really for corporate. And it was never really geared towards entrepreneurship. So I don't feel like I've learned much in that space. To guide me down the entrepreneurship route or the solopreneur, which really, you're always going to have people around you, right? You're not really by yourself as an entrepreneur.
Right.
But yeah, I knew early on that this was going to be that I was going to be an entrepreneur or a digital nomad in some capacity.
Yeah, well, I have more questions, but I think when we go into the second, it's going to kind of help meld and mold, mm-hmm. and I'll kind of reset because we have some new people joining on. So welcome to the space. So we are talking about, this is Creative Conversations, and it's three questions. How do you define creativity? How do you incorporate it into your life? And why do you think it's important? So my amazing guest, Melissa Lambor, and I are having a chat here, and we are moving on to our second question, which is, how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
I incorporate creativity through my business. And also, I love embroidery art. I realized that was, you know, once I went through painting and like, is it watercolor? Is it drawing? Is it this? I realized that I was tapping into my ancestral heritage through textile art, even though I discounted it or I never really tried it. And in the past few months, I delved into it, and I've even thought of doing Reiki infused art. So those are a few ways that I incorporate it into my life, whether it's through business and coming up with ideas and how to solve different issues related to travel using astrogeography, or just letting my inner child out and doing embroidery art.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that to attention, the fact of business being the creativity. Because mm-hmm. I think that so many people, they don't, that's the whole point of when I say change the societal definition beyond a pencil and a paintbrush, because all of the problem solving that goes along, all of the use of your imagination. I mean, you're sitting around a table or you're alone and ideas pop into your mind, and then you're problem solving, you're brainstorming. Okay. So like these baby steps, I have to do this to get to that, to get to this. And it's not always a straight line. It's often a friggin' zigzag.
Exactly. And it feeds the engineer in me also, because that loves to solve problems. Right. So I just never thought I would be using that part of myself for business, but it all kind of blends together. And I'm also making the inner child happy by playing with maps and traveling.
Yeah, because when we spoke before, when we had our previous conversation and we were just kind of getting to know each other, and I asked you about when you were young, if you knew what you wanted to do, and you said that you were looking at maps when you were like when you were
Yeah, I used to plan all the road trips. So
a
I would be the one, yeah, this was pre Google Maps, pre like GPS. So I would bring out all the maps and calculate how long it would take, how much gas we would need, where we would have to stop.
Oh my God.
All those things, yeah, those things that people don't even think about now, right? And there's a place, because we used to go from New Jersey all the way down to Florida. That was our common trip. But there was I believe south of the border, there's like a big sombrero. That was probably down in North Carolina or South Carolina, like right before you get into Florida. But that was one of the things I remember, that would be like on the map where we need to stop there and pick up, some trinkets or something.
So funny, you're like 7 years old. They're like, Melissa, look at the map.
It's like, we need to stop there.
The big ball of yarn. Where is that big twine, ball of twine or something? That's famous. That's somewhere in the United States.
The big ball, the sombrero, the one that I'm
No,
talking about, or
the ball, big ball of twine. I
that
was
I don't know. No.
maybe my husband's on here. So Arthur, if you remember, we were driving cross country and yeah. But I just you made me think of when we lived in California, they have something out there called the Thomas Guide, or they did. I don't know if they still do. I don't know if you ever heard of that map. But they break it down into a grid, so it's like letters on the top and numbers down the side or reverse, whatever that is. So have you ever seen one of these maps before?
Yeah, and then you go to the next page and it shows you like all the places, the hotels, or
I suck at them.
Those are my favorite.
I totally suck at them. So my husband would be driving, and if he's actually listening, I see that he's here. he'd be like, "How far are we?" I'm like, "A half an inch." I have no idea. I have no frigging clue on where we are and how to get there. He's like, "Why can't?" I'm like, "You know, I can't read these maps."
Oh, one of the people mentioned Cocker City, Kansas.
That's where the world's largest ball of twine.
Wow.
Thank you, Arthur. But we went from Philly to California, and yeah, that was an adventure. That was fun. In a car, in a Mitsubishi that had no air conditioning in the summertime,
Ooh.
going across the desert. And we still like each other. So yeah, we survived.
Exactly.
It was fun. But yeah, so also tell us about, travel. You said you've been to 20 countries.
Yeah, it all started. My first country was Guatemala. That was a family trip, probably when I was 16 or so. And that was about 20 years after my mom had been, had arrived in the US, so it was a while for her to go back to her country. But then after that, Germany was the next one. I did a kind of like a co-op internship there for 3 months, and that all kind of all sparked my travel. My mom kind of knew at that point, like I'm not gonna stay in one place, I'm not moving back in. And I was set up for a life of travel. Yeah, and from there it was just, most places in Europe, and then my partner is from Malaysia, so I've been to Malaysia many times, probably like over the past decade. I've been there at least 10 times, and from there that's like a jump off point to Malaysia. I'm sorry, to Thailand, Cambodia, Indonesia, Singapore, all the surrounding countries, and Bali, of course. Yeah, so I've been to quite a few places, and I always get to experience the cultures and all the different cuisine, which is my favorite. So yeah,
So you're a foodie.
I am a foodie. I'm a very picky foodie.
Okay.
So I'm into like the different spices. I've had durian. I don't know if you know what durian is,
I
but
don't.
it's a very to me it tastes like almost like fermented onions, but it's a fruit.
Okay.
So
Ooh.
it has an acquired taste. So many people love it in Southeast Asia, but I don't know if you remember the foodie Zimmern, Andrew Zimmern. He couldn't handle it. And if you remember him, he used to eat God knows what. But he couldn't handle a little fruit, so I can say that I've had a fruit that he couldn't handle.
It. So with this, I'm just like, so many questions are in my head. So first, when you were in Germany and you had the co-op, or you were part of the co-op, what was it? What were you doing?
There, I was doing. I had so many different majors. I switched my majors quite a few times. So at that point, I think I was an electrical engineer,
Okay.
because I went in as as mechanical, and then I switched to electrical, and then I went back to mechanical. But at the time, I think I was doing an internship for electrical engineering. So I was doing drawings. I believe it was an army post. So I was living in right outside of Stuttgart, and that was an amazing experience. And I always wanted to go back to Europe, and I never did. But that's what I plan to do once I do become a full-time digital nomad. I would want to visit Spain and all the other countries that I didn't get to experience.
So what does it mean to be a digital nomad?
Digital nomad is you're essentially an entrepreneur, living pretty much bouncing around the world, and you can just set up shop anywhere. That's my goal, where I don't have to be attached to any one location.
That is the beauty of it, right? Do you speak different languages?
I speak Spanish, a little bit of Malay. But not many other languages. I do try to learn. At the moment, I'm trying to learn Arabic, and I want to go to Egypt in July. But I say that I'm learning, but I need to be a bit more disciplined with that.
Well, it helps. Well, I don't know. I guess people again learn in a different way. I'm just always in admiration. My son, he learned Spanish by being completely immersed in it,
Yes.
and because his friends all spoke Spanish, and he kind of had to learn it for survival. And he never took a class in his life. And all of a sudden, like after being at this new school and hanging out with his friends for a few months, all of a sudden I hear him on the phone. I'm like, "Who are you?"
That's
He's speaking in
amazing.
fluent Spanish. I'm like, "Where did that come from?"
Yeah, I speak fluent Spanglish. So I was in English as a second language when I was a child, but yeah, I kind of grew up with, Spanish at home and then English, in the classroom, and they would tell us not to speak Spanish, or they would tell the parents, don't speak to your child in Spanish, which is the worst thing as little children, right? Because that's when we
Yeah,
pick up the language. But
exactly.
that was just, I guess, in the 80s, that was just the thing, right? That they would tell parents. So I think that's why my Spanish is a bit like all over the place. But yeah, it's definitely true. When I went down to Peru and Bolivia by myself, I did a solo backpacking trip down there. I was definitely forced to improve my Spanish.
Right.
So immersion is the best way to go about it, because you're forced to survive.
Yeah, and you don't want to be looked at as the, obnoxious American. That's yeah, I had that when we were in Italy, and some people they weren't even trying. It's like, oh my God, please stop talking. Because it's being kind of it was being obnoxious. It wasn't being respectful.
Oh, they were speaking in English, like,
They were
or
trying to speak Italian, but at the same time it was kind of done in a way where it was just kind of like, you're really. It's not just bad Italian with an American accent. It's just kind of you doing it just because you have to do it. I don't know if that makes sense.
And that's one of the things with my sessions. I do tell people, through your local library, they offer Rosetta Stone or Rocket Language for free. So those are resources that you can always tap into. Like I've even had people in California, because I know in New Jersey they offer it for free through the libraries. So yeah, languages are, something that you can always learn. So.
So, what's one of the most interesting places you feel like you've been to?
I would have to say Thailand. I love Thailand, and even though I love Malaysia because my in-laws are there, Thailand definitely has amazing food. Artisans like in Chiang Mai, Bangkok is just crazy with all the little tuk-tuks. Like, so you can get around in the little motorbike like carriage. Like they call them tuk-tuks. So yeah, it's fun to get around, but all the temples, the language and the culture. Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite places to always go back to.
Yeah, when you said the tuk-tuk, I had an image of like a bike, but it's a motorcycle.
Yeah, it's not like a bike rickshaw. It's a motorbike rickshaw, I guess.
Cool. So you also mentioned, which was because this was part of your spiritual journey, was yoga kind of opened you up. Is this something now that you do on a regular basis? Is it part of your regular, your regular routine?
Yeah, definitely. Especially Kundalini yoga. I know that's separate from like Ashtanga or like different types of yoga. Kundalini yoga is more prescriptive, so I do that. I'll look up a particular kriya for procrastination or for prosperity, and I try to do that as like a moving meditation. I did do yoga training earlier in the year, and that's something that I do need to dive back into, because it was a bilingual program. So eventually I would love to teach yoga in English and in Spanish. So that's something that's in the works for this summer.
Oh, that's amazing. And Kundalini. So yeah, maybe if you could tell people that are listening, they might not be familiar with what Kundalini specifically is.
Kundalini, I didn't do Kundalini training, but that one is mostly, it's related to like the awakening of like the sacral chakra or the energy within. So, but I usually tap into that as a moving meditation.
I always say that I'm going to do more yoga, and I they.
Yeah, I did my yoga training and I didn't complete it because I wasn't doing it daily. So I just didn't feel right going through it and pushing through it if I wasn't doing it as a daily practice. So that's something that, after I've completed my MBA and a current book launch that's going on right now, I'll dive back into that and make it part of my daily practice.
A listener is asking, chakra is related to Reiki, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The chakras are related to many modalities, but yes, within Reiki, we do look at the chakra system.
Do you use a pendulum?
I do for distance Reiki, so you could either feel the energy over the chakras or use a pendulum. So I do use one for distance Reiki. So when I do it over Zoom, I have I form a crystal body for each chakra, and I use the pendulum and I kind of go over, asking like, is their chakra open or is it closed, and it'll spin in a particular way.
Isn't that amazing?
It is, and it's something that we learned in our Reiki class, and I didn't think it was going to be a thing, but since everything, with COVID, everything went online. I'm like, wow, I'm amazed that this is something that I can still do. I can still provide energy healing through a virtual setting.
So the way that I describe Reiki is that it's been so long since I've had the training. I did level up to level two, but I feel like I really need to go back and do again. But people are like, "What's Reiki?" And I say, "Well, it's like energy, and it's like blood moving through your body. And when something hurts, or when pain, when something hurts, it feels like energy has gotten stuck. So it's like moving it through.
Right, right. And Reiki is the Japanese form of energy healing. So, you know, in Chinese medicine, there's different, I think it's Kaizhong. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but there's different modalities of energy healing throughout the world. But Reiki is from Japan. That's where it stems from. But yeah, we're all tapping into the infinite source of energy.
And when that pendulum, it's so amazing, because when it does, when you do ask it a question and it does move, and then sometimes it's just like that little bit, and then sometimes it's like whipping around, like whoosh, whoosh, you're like, oh my God, there's so much energy in there.
Yes, yes. And sometimes that means that it's overactive. So I do try to see, because when you go over different chakras, you'll notice that, you know, it'll spin just a little bit, or it'll spin out of control. And when it spins out of control, that could mean that it's overactive, which is not a good thing. It's, you know, there's energy there, but it's also pulling energy from the other chakras, if that makes any sense.
Oh, that's very interesting to know.
Yeah.
So then it's a matter. So then it's balancing.
Exactly.
So one of the listeners is asking, it's important to close the chakras too, isn't it, at the end?
To close them? Well, they're, I usually, the goal is to open them up and to get them balanced. But I kind of close myself off from the person. So I'm not pulling any, you know, they're not pulling any energy from me, and I'm not pulling any energy from them, because then that I could feel depleted from a session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an important point to make, because I had people say, do you feel really drained after a session? I'm like, no, not at all.
Right, right.
I feel kind of energized, actually.
Yeah, but sometimes we could carry on whatever, you know, whatever energy they're giving off if we don't, you know, shut ourselves off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Creating that boundary when you're also an empathic being, which I'm sure you always were.
Yeah, I'm also a Pisces, so I think that's, I'm always intuitively connected in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would go into spaces. I understand the intuition for sure. I would go into spaces and I could just feel energy. And sometimes when we lived in New York and we were kind of shoved together on the subways, I couldn't be next to certain people, especially when I was pregnant. I guess the hormones and everything, yes, it really kicked in. I just couldn't be next to, like, their energy felt like it was piercing me.
And is that related to your sign, do you think? What sign are you?
I'm a Virgo.
Not sure if that's, yeah.
So I would just kind of sit there, and I didn't understand it. I didn't really know it at that time, to kind of create, do a bubble and kind of create a boundary around myself. But yeah, it was painful. I'd come home and be like, it hurts. Like, the energy coming off, it really hurts.
No, definitely. I feel that, especially, you know, when I go into like a group, a circle or a group of friends, like you feel the different energies with people, and realize that maybe you're not meant to connect in certain ways. You know, there's an energy there that's not allowing you to go any further.
Yeah. 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 So the listener's bringing up a really good point, and I'm glad they're bringing it up, because it can lead to another question. Mm-hmm. It says, they do yoga on a stand up paddleboard, followed by a nice 10 minutes of mindfulness meditation in the middle of the sea. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
Where do you live? Please tell us where you are. In Dubai.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful. What time is it over there now? Just curious. But do you have a 3:46? I'm guessing in the afternoon. Yeah. Oh, morning. Okay. Wow. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
I feel honored. Do you have some kind of a mindfulness routine?
My mindfulness routine is usually checking into the chakras, and if I feel something, usually my solar plexus or my lower chakras are the ones that I feel kind of like you feel like a sense of like doom, or if there's something coming up, that's usually where I feel it, and I just need to tell myself, you're safe, like you be courageous, be creative. So those are some mindfulness practices that I do. Smudging is usually like a bundle of herbs. So currently I use mugwort, which grows like very it grows wild here in New Jersey, and it's good for opening the third eye, or for bringing on like lucid dreaming. So that's something that I've been using just to clear any negative energy from my body. And yeah, other than that, my daily Kundalini practice, which is usually like 15, 20 minutes, and then I follow it with journaling. So journaling is usually just stream of consciousness, like whatever is on my mind.
And when you say smudging, are you doing like around your whole aura?
There's like a particular Reiki sign that I do, and I just do it like on my around my head and then around my body, yeah, like around the aura.
Cool, mugwort. Because I'm in Jersey too. But where can you buy it? Can you just buy it at an herb store?
I would think so. I've been that's the next thing I want to do. I want to grow it or either pick it like forage and make my own bundle. So yeah, stay tuned for mugwort smudging bundles.
Yay. I know you were going to talk about this in the end, but I figured I would just ask now because it's things you do for creativity, which is writing as well. So tell us about the book that's coming out, the multi-author book that you're a part of.
Yes, it's a Legacy Speaks, Powerhouse Women, Leading Lives Worth Remembering. And it's out May 7th, so this Friday. And yeah, it's a book full of 25 women entrepreneurs, and they're all sharing their medicine, their journey of how they got to where they are today with their business, their spiritual journey, and yeah, their legacy, what they want to leave in this world. So
What's your chapter called?
my chapter is Beyond Labels, Finding Your Place in the World. So yeah, my chapter it really speaks about my cre it, I speak about creativity essentially because like I said, I was on this endless search of what is creativity, what am I supposed to do, and then finding out that through my spiritual awakening, I was supposed to find Reiki, Ayurveda, and astrogeography.
Yeah, I think again, I can't say it. It's like what I just want to scream from the rooftops is seriously, it is like what you're saying is this whole journey, which is really life. I mean, I see it as it's kind of journey, what we just go through and recognizing that, I mean, to me, I define creativity as your voice, as your expression. And it's as simple and as complicated as that. It's just kind of what comes to you. It's the way that you share your gifts. It's the way that you just speak it. It's the way that you do it.
Of just
And
being, right?
it's just your being, and it
Yeah.
feels, and it comes naturally.
And I think, yeah, I don't know if it's our society or, if it's different in different parts of the world, but yeah, at least growing up here in the US, it almost felt like it had to be some creative outlet, right? Like it had to be a celebrity or it had to become an artist to be creative. But you can be creative even as an engineer, right? Or
Yes.
even as whatever, as a nurse, right? You're creatively fixing up a patient, right? In some way, so
You're problem solving. I mean,
exactly.
the definition of creativity is the formation of an idea or an object. So when you mention a nurse, like I totally see that as it's using using your interpersonal skills. You're listening, you're problem solving, you're creating a space too. I mean, I have to say, when I was in hospital situations and stuff, there were certain nurses that were above and beyond because they created such a safe space. They created this space where it was just like I felt so comfortable. They weren't making me feel worse than I already felt.
Exactly. And I think in those spaces, people need to have the freedom to be creative, right, within their career. Where in my particular job, I don't feel that creativity. It's kind of, you know, the same thing every day. Maybe it would have been different if I was given some type of creative outlet, right? So
yeah,
and sometimes the stress, you know, kicks in and you don't feel creative anymore. You're just on fight or flight.
Definitely. And then there are certain places that really don't want people thinking too independently or using their imagination very much because they want to keep things the way they want to keep them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they put a restriction, and that's when people kind of feel like they're being choked. They're like, I feel like crap and I don't know why I feel so bad.
Right. But because there's such rigidity. Yeah. There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Such rigidity.
I'm a quality engineer and we're all about, you know, SOPs or standard operating procedures. So you have to stay within that, you know, rigid structure. And once you go out of it, it's like, oh, failure, this, that, you know.
Yeah.
It's stifling.
Yeah. So you are just like going totally the opposite way. You're like,
I'm running.
I am free. I'm free. But it really is. It's beautiful that you, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it sounds like it was really very much in flow. You had these things in kind of in place. You kind of knew these things that you enjoyed, that you liked doing, like traveling, like yoga, like writing, and, you know, embroidery and all of this. And you just allowed the time in and the space in, and then it just grew.
Yeah, and I needed that time to reflect. Definitely the pandemic has caused all of us to go within, right, and reflect. So that time has, you know, I was meant to travel. I was going to travel in May and my trip got canceled because of the pandemic. Malaysia completely shut up, you know, closed their borders, and that forced me to sit with myself. Like, I can't escape. I can't go and travel. That was my drug. So I think that also helped me to tap into astrogeography, not as a way to escape, but as a way to bring in the Reiki and Ayurveda to come at travel from a balanced perspective.
Yeah.
Because we do, you know, we like to escape and forget about the problems, but the problems always follow us. They'll keep following us.
What is it they say? Everywhere you go, there you are.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah. We can't. Yeah, we're with each other. We're with ourselves 24/7. And yeah, you might as well love yourself and learn about yourself. And I think it's very important what you just talked about is reflecting. Yeah, I mean, with the time that we've had, you know, you can choose. You choose. Are you going to reflect and use your power for good, or are you just going to kind of stay stuck in a space of old thoughts?
Exactly. And yeah, another thing with my service was tapping into the energies of the world from exactly where you are, right? Like if you can't travel with the pandemic, or maybe you're someone that's exiled or a refugee, you know, an immigrant that can't go back to their country. I wanted to figure out a way to harness that energy, right, from a distance. So that's also something that I try to teach my clients, just how to tap into that energy that maybe they didn't know that, you know, they had energy in Africa, and now they know, and they can watch documentaries or learn the language or figure out, you know, what art there is from that particular part of the region to start tapping into that energy.
Wow, so it's kind of like, what is it, that 23andMe or something? You swab, find out all of your background. You're like telling
Exactly.
people where people's energies are.
Yes. And maybe they were always called to that particular region, and finally when they get to a session with me, they're like, "Wow, now I know why." Because, the it was written in the stars essentially, right? Based on
Literally.
astrology, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, we have to get to question three because we're almost at the top of the hour. And I love what I have to just draw attention to what this person just put in here. Love, peace, and coffee is what the world needs now.
Amazing.
Is there a shirt made of that? Because if not, there should be. That would resonate with a lot of people. So we've touched on all of this, but basically to wrap up the idea of, so why is creativity important?
I think creativity is important for us to feel fulfilled in life. So, as I mentioned, creativity or creative energy is linked to the sacral chakra along with sexual energy. So, if we neglect creativity, it causes an imbalance in the sacral chakra, and that can only be brought back to equilibrium by incorporating creative practices, which may seem like just letting in the inner child, right, to play. So, for me, it's really allowing myself to tap into like embroidery designs. Like I have a little book of embroidery designs that I want to start embroidering. Something as simple as a 10-minute practice of just drawing a little jewelry design or something. So that's why it's important to me, especially because of the sacral chakra and how. If creativity isn't being tapped into, then it could send that chakra out of balance.
Yeah. It's putting it in such a way that's a very clear understanding that really connects to the body physically and to those energy centers. And I think it's important what you just said too, is it's important to keep it, you can keep it simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. I think a lot
Doesn't.
of things that we mentioned in this conversation was about that, the idea of simplicity of that 10 minutes of whatever that is. So I kind of put it out there to you listeners. Is what is that thing that you could do for as little as 10 minutes, where it's giving yourself the permission to actually take that time to do something that you enjoy?
Right, and might even tap into some ancestral healing too. Because for me, textile art, I realized it was healing because I was tapping into my indigenous roots in Guatemala, since they're into textile arts.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just a beautiful way to connect back to my roots.
And you mentioned in the beginning that you were kind of pushing that to the side.
I
You weren't.
was. I actually never did embroidery art until I did a workshop. It was like mystical embroidery or and that's where we were just playing with stitches. And I'm like, I love this. Like I really did. And I think I shied away from textile art because there's so many like beautiful textile arts from Guatemala that I was overwhelmed. I'm like, I could never be that good, right?
No, but that again brings up a very important point. I think the word playing and overwhelmed being opposites. I think we get overwhelmed because we think we have this whole perfectionist thing. We have to be so good at it. It has to be
Exactly.
perfect. But when we're playing, and think of it as just playing, you were just playing around with stitches. And then you were like, oh, this is fun. Like, I can do that.
It was funny because this workshop, so many of them had a lineage of textile artists or embroidery artists, and they said that it was so healing for them to just play because they did have this burden of like, I'm gonna be like my mom, I'm never gonna be as good as grandma or whatever it was. So most of the conversation after the workshop was like, wow, this. I just never gave myself the permission to just make a simple stitch because I thought I was going to be judged.
Oh my gosh, there we go. Permission to make a simple stitch.
Right?
I always pull a quote from everyone, every talk, and this is permission to make a simple stitch. That's the quote. Yeah, because I think that is so, it's just huge. Yeah, we don't give ourselves the permission, and I'm guilty of that too. I mean, you hold back because, again, that perfectionist thing, but you, we just need to play.
Exactly.
We need to play. And yes, this person again said 10 minutes of I am affirmations at the start of the day.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
No, even before this call, I had to tell myself, like, I am enough. Like, I'm safe, especially for the root chakra, like telling yourself I am safe, because I tend to get very nervous when I talk, especially with lives or with presentations, and my body just goes out of control, and I'm like, you're safe. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't sound nervous.
No, no, and you are a very good host.
Well, thank you. But it's so funny because I was always crazy shy, and I would never get up and speak in front of. It's just funny how life kind of unravels.
Mm.
Would never do public speaking. Just my voice was like all over the place and turning.
Oh, you start cracking, or like your voice starts leaving your body.
Oh my God. At my bat mitzvah, I actually tripped going up to the pulpit.
Oh no.
It wasn't like a little
just to oof. Set the mood.
It wasn't like a little oof. It was like almost fall on my face. And I laugh when people fall and trip and get hurt and whatever. It's just what I do. I still do it. My kids are like scarred by stuff that I laugh at. But so I got up and I just started laughing. I have no idea how long it was for. It felt like forever. And then I just, started. And I remember shaking hands with the rabbis after, and they were like, that was a really good icebreaker. I'm like, that so wasn't planned. But it did. It just made you laugh, and people laughed, and it just broke the mood.
Exactly. And I think as adults, if that happens to us, it's like, you need to just shake that off.
You do.
But as a child, you're like traumatized. You're like, oh my gosh.
Even as an adult, I think what I realized and I learned was what is the worst thing that could happen? I think that was the thing in my life, that kind of unraveled, and things were with all the fears and stuff. It was like, well, I have difficulty breathing and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, well, what's the big, what is the worst thing that could happen to me? I'll pass out. And if I pass out, then somebody will come help me.
It's so true. And even me taking opportunities, just like this podcast, like what's the worst that can happen, right? Or doing an IG live, or just showing up, and for myself was just coming out with a one-on-one service.
Right.
And finally people were signing up, like, yeah, like how can I work with you? And if I didn't do that, my medicine would just be, sitting there in the corner, just not helping anyone.
And I think it's important to say, and then we're going to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. And I want to say hi to Sue. Sue, hello.
Hi, Sue.
Hey. is that it's important to recognize that. And I think it's important for people to see us. People appreciate when you're human.
Exactly.
So when you make mistakes, and when you acknowledge them, and when you laugh about it and whatever, people appreciate realness as opposed to all of this other manufactured perfectionism
stuff.
No, and
even on social media, on Instagram, I try to show like my behind the scenes, even my videos, they're not perfect, like the 10 to 20 takes that you have to, you have to do before it's the final product.
right. Exactly. And the bloopers, they're always the most fun anyway.
Right? Yeah.
I love when they do that on like toys, like the animated movies. They have the bloopers on the animated movies.
I've never seen that. The audio, or like
they have like visual, like for Toy Story and stuff at the end, they have like bloopers for That's funny. Anyway, so this has been so amazing. Can you please tell them, Melissa, how they can find out more about you?
Yes, they can find me on Instagram at Melissa Lambor. And essentially that's where you can find my website and whatever programs I have set up. I do have a group program that I'm kind of putting together for August or September. But right now you can work with me one-on-one, either through an individual Reiki Astro Geo session or a couples Reiki Astro Geo session. So the couples one is new, where I find the most harmonious lines for a couple. So that's a fun one. And yeah, and any workshops or any expert events in the future, so you can find me there.
So exciting. And tell them when the book is coming out again, please.
May 7th. And May 18th to the 20th, we'll have a free summit on Facebook.
Okay. So May 7th, Legacy Speaks, Kindle, get it.
Yes.
Yes, 99 cents. You'll be so happy that you
Yeah,
did.
and all proceeds go to charity, so it's all going to a good cause.
Wonderful. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for taking this hour to hang out and chat. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Hollis.
Yeah. So happy to have you here. And thank you, listeners who joined us live and listening to the replay. This space is all about inspiring each other, connecting and sharing stories. So please like, follow, and share so we can get the word out there and just connect each other and lift each other up because it's good. It's good. So thank you again, and I wish you a good morning, evening, afternoon, wherever you are in this world, and be talking to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.